Welcome to The Fallen State. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all for being with me. Remember, you can support our work by going to thefallenstate.tv/donate and locals.com. Click in the link there for that. I have with me today Lisa Bloom. And Lisa is an author, attorney, and founder and owner of the Bloom Firm. Lisa, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
I absolutely appreciate it. What's the purpose of the Bloom Firm?
Right. So we are one of the nation's largest and most successful civil rights law firms. Right. We fight for the rights of people of color, women, LGBTQ folks, anybody who's a victim of discrimination, harassment, and abuse.
Oh, okay.
And we have offices in New York and Los Angeles. I have a team of 10 attorneys, and we fight very hard for people and get them terrific results. And we take cases nationwide as well.
Right on. And when you say you fight for civil rights for these people, what are civil rights?
Great question. Civil rights are, we all have certain rights. We have the right to equality, especially in employment and housing and public accommodations. We have the right to be treated as equals. We have the right to stand up against things like sexual harassment or race discrimination and not be retaliated against as a result. We also have Fourth Amendment rights not to be the victims of unreasonable searches and seizure by police or other government entities. So those are just a few examples.
Amazing. And do you fight for the rights for white people too?
Well, for white people, civil rights? On occasion, but primarily when we're doing a race discrimination case, we're talking about people of color who are victims. Yeah.
And I noticed that in today's America, that so many white people are being discriminated against. Their rights are being taken away from them. And so if white people would come to you and say, hey, my rights are being taken because I'm white, you would take on that too?
Well, we look at every case individually.
Right.
Because we only get paid if we win. We have to take cases that we really feel confident that we can win. So you're right. Everybody has the right to not be discriminated against on account of their race. And if that happened to somebody because they are white, we would look at it just like any other case. We would look at the facts and the evidence and the witnesses to see if they have a legitimate case.
Nice. And so, for the record, you, your mother, Gloria Allred.
True.
Right? Amazing.
Lucky me.
What was that like growing up with a mother like that?
It was amazing. My mother was all about teaching me to stand up for myself, to be empowered, to be intelligent, to use my brain. She wasn't really interested in what color nail polish I wore. She was interested in what was I thinking about? What books was I reading? Was I learning to think critically? Were people in my life treating me well? Was I doing my duty as a citizen to improve the world? That was very much drummed into me from an early age. You know, before she was an attorney, my mother was a teacher, and she was one of the leaders in the teachers' union. So I learned at an early age what it means to be a union, why unions are important for working people, especially working women, so that they could get good pay and good benefits. And those lessons have stayed with me for all these years.
And so were you raised by your father and mother, or just your mother?
My parents divorced when I was a baby, like 1 year old.
Right.
So I was raised by my mom. She was a single mom, and then she remarried when I was about 9 years old.
Amazing. And so are you close to your father, your natural father?
My biological father is now deceased, but I was very close to him. I have a tattoo on my wrist in his honor. It's his handwriting that says, all my love, Peyton. That was how he signed off his beautiful letters to me.
Nice.
So we used to write each other a lot of letters. I would visit him a lot. He was also very much an independent thinker. He liked to read books. He liked to engage my mind. And I really loved my dad.
Right on. And so growing up with Gloria, your mother, was it like a mama dearest kind of a thing?
No. No. And for people who don't know that, I know the reference.
Yeah.
Mommy Dearest was a book about a terrible overbearing mother. Was it Joan Crawford's?
Yeah, she really played that role too.
She did. And I remember the book. No, nothing like that. My mother was very loving and cared about me a lot. And also taught me that women's rights are important. So from a young age, if I was, you know, one day I went to school wearing pants, and back then girls, at least at my school, we had to wear skirts. Right. And anyway, she went and fought for my right to wear pants to school. Or there really? Was a, when I was a kid, there was a faculty student softball game, but really it was faculty boy students only. And why couldn't the girls play? This was in the sixth grade. Some of those girls were pretty good players. Not me. But I stood up for their right to do it, even though I wasn't going to be part of that, right? So there were a lot of barriers to women and girls' involvement that were being broken down at that time. And my mother really encouraged me to be a part of it, and I was.
So you, at school, you fought for the girls to play with the boys, or
for the girls
to
play
in,
yeah, for the girls to play in the game against the faculty. It was a big faculty-student game.
Oh, I got you.
And if the girls were good enough, you know, when you're talking about 11-year-olds, there's not that much difference in ability between a girl and a boy playing softball.
I see.
You know, girls should be able to play, right? Do you agree?
Well, I believe that girls should play with girls, but not with boys.
Even if they're 11 years old?
Right.
What if they're 5 years old?
They may get hurt.
Boys
at 5 years old can throw a ball or hit a ball really hard.
Well, so could girls. Girls usually mature a lot faster than boys, so I would put my money on a 5-year-old girl over a 5-year-old boy.
Really? I know what you mean by they mature faster, but they mature in a cunning way. Now, you know what I mean? You know how women they mature faster.
On a good day, we're cunning.
But they're
cunning. Yeah, maybe. I'll take that as a compliment.
Amazing. So, being raised by a mother that's into, as your mother, a union rep, union leader, political all the way, do you feel emboldened? As a woman, do you feel emboldened?
I do feel emboldened, yes.
And what does that feel like?
Well, when I was in college, I was on the debate team. I won the national debate championship. You have to be pretty bold to travel all over the country and debate against hundreds of college students and stand up for yourself and win.
Do they still have those?
Oh, I think
debate teams like
I hope so, because that was one of the best things I ever did.
It was fun. It was amazing.
And then I've had a long career as an attorney. I started my own law firm about 16 years ago, grew my firm and trained and hired lawyers to fight these cases all over the country. You have to be pretty emboldened to do that, right?
You do. And so are you married?
I'm single.
So you've never been married?
Oh, I've been married.
And when you, as a woman who emboldened, been raised the way you were raised, did you obey your husband?
Oh, God, no.
You did not obey God, no. And why not?
Why would I? Why doesn't he obey me?
What?
Why wouldn't he obey me? Why? You really think a woman should obey her husband?
Right. The marriage won't work if she doesn't obey him.
Oh, okay.
Have you noticed that?
No, I haven't noticed that because I don't live in 1950.
Meaning what?
Meaning it's a very antiquated idea. You don't think women should have equal rights?
I don't know. There are no such thing as equal rights.
Oh, okay.
There's an order to life, but no equal rights. Do you have kids?
I do.
You do have kids?
Mm-hmm.
And are you teaching them in the same way you were taught by your mother?
That all humans are equal and deserving of dignity and respect? Yes.
Really? And
is that a radical idea to you?
It's an insane idea.
Okay. Really. So people are not all equal?
No.
Okay, who's less equal?
It's not about being equal. It's about being in the proper order of life. You know, God and... Are you a Christian?
No.
Are you Jewish?
Kind of, yeah.
What does that mean?
I mean, Jewish. Gotta laugh.
What does Jewish mean?
It means, I guess I'm Jewish if I have to pick something, but I'm not religious.
Oh, you're not religious?
No.
You are a Jew that's not religious.
Yes, you
meaning,
could say that.
Do you believe there's a God?
I don't know. I'm agnostic.
Oh, really? And what does that mean? I'm black and slow. What does that mean?
It means I don't know.
Oh, I understand that.
I'm open to different ideas. I don't think anybody can know.
And why did you think that?
Because how can you know if there's a God or not?
But if God doesn't reveal himself to his children, what's the purpose of being God?
Okay.
Satan reveals himself to his children, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody knows Satan. You believe Satan, hell exists, right?
No.
You know, do you believe there's evil and a good or nothing?
I think there's good and evil, yes.
And who do you think good and evil comes from? Where do you think it comes from?
Where do I think it comes from?
Yeah.
The human heart.
Right. The heart is wicked.
Some people, that's true.
Yeah. And your kids, are you training them? Are they boys or girls?
I have a daughter and I have a son and I have two foster sons.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And so are you teaching them in the same way you were taught?
That all people are equal and deserving of dignity and respect, to be kind, to be compassionate. Yes, that is how I raise them.
Are they adults now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And so we were talking about the fallen state.
Mm-hmm.
The show is called The Fallen State.
Okay.
And you asked me, what did that mean before we started?
Mm-hmm.
And what it means is that human beings are in a fallen state. They are wicked at heart.
Mm.
They are blind and they don't know it. Mm-hmm. And so what we try to do here to encourage them to wake up.
Okay.
Do you believe that human beings are in a fallen state?
I think I'd need more information. I mean, blind to what?
To reality. They're living in an illusion. And don't know it.
Blind to what reality?
To God. They're not aware of God. Even some that claim to even know God, it's just an idea in their head, but they don't really know. They're blinded. And they're blinded by all kinds of things.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I'm not religious, as we've already established. I respect, if you are, other people who are religious, that's great. It's not really my thing. So if the fallen state is people need to wake up to religion.
To religion, but to God.
To God. Well, yeah. It depends. And then, you know, God could be defined all different ways. So, for example, I do a lot of long distance backpacking in the summers by myself.
Nice.
And when I'm out in the wilderness and the mountains and, you know, I have a sense of awe of how amazing and beautiful it is.
Right.
That's about as close as I get to God.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have perfect peace?
Sometimes.
And then sometimes, no?
Most of the time, no.
Really?
Do you?
Yes.
You have perfect peace?
I do.
Well, I would love to know more about that.
Okay, and we'll get to that in a minute. Good question. What does it feel like not to have perfect peace? What is that feeling?
Well,
what's that like?
I think, you know, we all have stress or concerns about the things we have to do today, or worried about a friend of mine who's in a difficult place right now, or certainly worried about climate change, worried about the people in our city who are victims of these terrible fires and lost their homes. Some people lost their lives.
Right.
So when I think about things like that, I don't have perfect peace.
And what good does it do you? Or the people you worry about to worry?
Well, it doesn't do good to worry all day, that's true. But I think if it spurs you to action to help people, then that's a good thing, right?
So you're saying to worry about them and causing you to help them?
Sure.
Really?
That's one example.
But what good does that do them or you?
What good does it do people to help them?
Yeah.
That's a very strange question, Jesse. I mean, I have a friend who's going through a very hard time. After this interview, I'm going to have an early dinner with her and talk to her. I think most people would agree that's a good thing. You don't think it's a good thing to help a friend in need, to talk them through their hard time, to be there for a friend?
But how will you talk her through hard times if you have... You don't have perfect peace yourself.
Well, I do sometimes.
Right, but how would you talk them through it?
What would
you say to, for example, what would you say to a person that's lost like that?
Well, she's just gone through a breakup, and so just going to talk about what happened. I think she made the right decision. You know, I'm going to give her love and emotional support. She actually, which is what I've been doing, she actually texted me today how much she loves me and appreciates that I'm helping her. So I don't think you have to have perfect peace to help someone. If you did, nobody could ever help anybody because we're not all like you, Jesse.
I rest my case.
Do you? Shouldn't we all be helping each other?
But have you noticed, you've already been trying to talk her through it. You've been there. You've been trying to help. But she's not getting any better.
Oh, she is.
She's only getting worse.
She is. Well, you know, when you go through a breakup, it takes time. But she is. And she's definitely getting better.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
In what way?
I think her heart is healing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Is it? I mean, isn't that what people, you break up, your friends are there, they help you?
They end up in the same situation. They end up doing it again.
Well, so you don't believe in love?
Do you agree that they end up doing it again?
Not necessarily.
Oh, no, they repeat it. They go, if a woman break up with a man break up with a woman, they go to find a new man or a new woman.
It's not with a man. It's two women.
Well, she's going to end up with another woman repeating the same thing over again.
Well, maybe she'll find somebody who's better suited to her.
It's not going to happen. Have you noticed that, though?
No. Some people find love, and they're very happy together.
Really?
You don't know anybody who's in a happy couple?
No.
Are you married?
No.
Okay, well, you don't know anyone who's in a happy couple? That's sad, Jesse.
Oh, and I talk to a lot of people around the world, mm-hmm. all ages, all races, and nobody's happy in marriage. They fight like...
Well, what does that tell you about marriage? My grandmother used to say, are you married or are you happy?
That's right. Absolutely.
So it's definitely not for everyone, but there are people who are happy. And they don't have to be married. You know, you can have a companion or a boyfriend or girlfriend. You don't have to be married, but I think it's nice to have someone in your life.
Which would you prefer, being happy or having perfect peace?
Ooh. I need to know more about perfect peace.
Right.
No, I mean, can you tell me more about perfect peace?
I can tell you how to get it.
Okay, tell me.
If I told you, would you want it? Would you receive
it? It depends on what I would have to do. And I have a sense it's going to be something religious, which is probably not going to work for me. But I'm open to hearing it.
You only have to do one thing.
Okay.
Drop your anger.
Oh.
Drop your anger, you will have perfect peace.
I'm listening.
That's it.
I don't think I have a lot of anger, but...
Anger is anger. It doesn't have to be a lot. Anger is not good at all. It keeps you away from perfect peace. So would you drop your anger?
Well, let me give you an example. So I represented 11 victims of Jeffrey Epstein. You know who he is? He's a big sexual predator.
Right.
I represent several victims of Sean Combs right now. I mean, I go after billionaire bullies, people who sexually assault women and men, and I think they are deserving of a little bit of anger.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because they prey on people, they destroy people, they harm people, and it's wrong. So, and I think a little bit of anger has a little bit of righteous fury can fuel us into getting change, into getting justice. And
so
that's what I do.
Anger is, there's righteousness in anger?
Sometimes.
No, anger is evil. That's why you don't have peace, because anger is evil. There's no peace in it. And it's very destructive. It destroys you and everyone around you.
Well, I'm not destroyed. Yeah. I'm a pretty happy person.
If you have anger, you don't have perfect peace, you're destroyed.
So how do you feel about
that?
So a sexual predator like Jeffrey Epstein, what are your feelings about him?
I wish him well. I want to ask, I saw where you said Diddy, because you're representing some woman that accused Diddy.
Yes, I do.
Right. What's her name?
Dawn Richard.
Yes, Dawn Richard. And you said that Diddy should go to prison for life or something like that?
I think he is going to be in prison for life. He's currently in prison, and the criminal case against him, in my opinion, is quite strong.
Really? Mm. And I don't know anything about the case. I'm only going by the media, so I can't say who's right or who's wrong in it, because I haven't spoken to Diddy yet, so I don't know, right? Or the accusers.
Fair enough.
Why do you think, because we know that women lie about sets and they lie on men. Not that I don't know if these women are lying, but we know that because of the hatred that women have for men, they're jealous of men. It's so easy for women to falsely accuse men. They could get mad. They could be having sex with you and get up out of bed and get mad at you before they hit the floor, and they'll say you sexually harass them or rape them and all kind of mess. Why would you trust women when you know that when they're crying, they're lying?
Wow. You sound very misogynist.
What do you mean?
You sound like you really hate women.
Well, how is that?
Because you think women are crying, they're lying.
Have you noticed that women are crying?
I would love to respond to what you said. So the FBI says that their false accusations of rape are about 2 or 3%, just as like for any other crime.
College women lie on the guys.
Okay, and, you know, rape is really an epidemic in this country. In the case of, for example, Jeffrey Epstein, he had hundreds and hundreds of accusers. You think he's innocent? You think these women are lying? You know, in some cases,
I don't know if they're lying or not, but I wouldn't just believe them knowing how easy it is for women to lie.
I'm not suggesting that you should just believe people who make an accusation. I'm an attorney. I have to prove my case in court.
Right.
Okay? So it's not like they just go out in the media and say something and they have to be believed. It's true that everybody deserves due process. But in the case of Sean Combs, I mean, there are allegations that there are videos, there are photos, and there are at least a couple dozen people already who have come forward making very serious accusations against him.
Right.
There's the criminal case, which the government would only bring if they think they can prove every element beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
So, but the last thing I want to say is that if you think it's easy for someone to come forward with an accusation against somebody like Sean Combs, you really haven't sat down and listened to accusers who talk about how painful and difficult it is, how they live with this for years, how they're terrified, how they're afraid of violence, how they think there have been acts of violence against other accusers. It's an extraordinarily difficult and brave thing for an accuser to come forward.
But that's why I say when they're crying, when they're saying, and I'm not talking about any particular case because I don't know, but when they're doing that, they're lying. Because
why would you assume that? Why would you assume that someone's lying? Why not give her a fair hearing give him a fair hearing?
I wouldn't take either one of their sides, you know?
Okay, but you don't say he's lying. You're saying the women are lying. You've said that several
times.
Because
I know so many cases where women are lied on, men, wives lie on husbands when they want to take the children away from the man.
Wow.
They just start crying, "Judge, he touched the kids in the wrong way." Or, "He raped me." Or they just throw their lies out there and then they cry. And I know they're lying. You agree with that at least?
It sounds like you're not in perfect peace right now. You sound very angry at women, and you sound very disparaging of women. Maybe you've had some bad experiences with women. Maybe some women have accused you, Jesse.
And so if that's the case with the women that are accusing the men, they have had bad experiences, or they just accused the men?
No, there's very few men who talk the way you do.
Or are they misogynists?
You're definitely a misogynist based on what you just said.
So are these women men misogynists?
Sorry?
Are those women who are accusing men, are they misogynists?
That's not a word.
I just made it up.
I think androgynous is different.
Right.
I don't know what the word is, but the way that you talk about women generally is very sexist and hateful, I have to tell you. To say that women are liars as a group, yeah. So you sound like you've got some issues with women. It's probably
really?
Why you're single.
So if women believe that men are lying, are they having an issue with men?
I don't hear any women say all men are lying.
I didn't say all.
Well, you said women.
I said women
generally.
Are crying and they're lying.
And you also said women are liars.
No, not all.
I didn't say all.
But when
it's on tape. Somebody can play it back.
One thing I know for sure.
You said what you said. Do you want to back off of it now and
no.
retract it?
One thing I know for sure, when they're crying, all women, when they're crying, they're lying.
So that sounds like you have so little compassion in your heart. If someone's crying, they're hurting.
They're lying.
Wow. So you really have no compassion for a woman who's hurting and weeping in her pain?
And what is compassion?
What is compassion?
Yeah.
Kindness in your heart towards someone else who's hurting? Doesn't sound like you have much of that, if
I
any.
Don't understand that.
Clearly you don't. That's pretty sad.
Are
you a narcissist, Jesse?
What do you mean?
You know what a narcissist is?
So let me go back to something else. I noticed that whenever there's a situation between men and women, and these women say, they rape me, or whatever, right?
Wow.
Like these parties with Jeffrey and now Diddy, and I'm sure it's going to happen to other men. Why don't they ever ask the woman, why did you go to that party? What were you looking for from Diddy? Why did you go to the party? Because I notice when people go to these parties, yes, Diddy may or may not want sex from them, but they want something from Diddy. And that's why they go to the party. They party up, they have fun, they drink, they do their thing.
So no one should ever go to a party?
Why is it that it's never questioned of why did you go to that party?
Also, what about the men who are accusing Diddy?
What was it that you wanted from Diddy? Why that's
I can,
not...
I can answer
why
that.
That's not, okay.
So first of all, I don't hear you criticizing the men who have made accusations against Diddy.
They're not answering the question.
Well, I know, but you're on this real anti-woman
rant.
I want
to know why do these women go to
okay.
these parties?
I can answer that if you take a breath and let me answer.
What is it that they want from Diddy and people like that?
They want a break to get into the music industry.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
And he wants sex, right?
In some cases, apparently, that's what's accused,
and
yes.
So, and the women are willing to give up the
no,
sex
they're
to
not.
Get what they
There's
want.
There's accusations that they were not willing, that they were drugged, that they were forced, that they were underage. So, again, you have this slanted thing in your head that women all are evil and liars. But people have the right to go to a party and not be sexually assaulted.
Right
people
now,
have the right.
To,
I'm you, still talking.
I'm
people have the
to
right to go to a party and not be
lawyer.
Drugged against their will, not to
lawyer.
Be groped and grabbed. Do you have children?
Yes.
Do you have a daughter?
Yes, granddaughter.
Okay, if she goes to a party, is she asking to be raped? Is it her fault for
if
going to a
goes,
party?
If she goes there looking for something for the party owner.
What if somebody says, you know, I can help you with your singing career? And she goes, okay, a lot of business is done at these kind of parties.
Would she
deserve to be raped?
Why was an underage person at a grown-up party?
Because they were invited and they were hoping to get into the music industry or
so
somebody
they wanted
brought them.
Something, right?
Okay, so you're going to blame...
That's my case.
You do? You're going to blame a child for being sexually assaulted? Is that who you
was
are?
Was a child.
An underage person?
Was an underage person that is a child.
Underage as a child, yes.
Was an underage child. I'm trying to understand the age range.
Oh, I don't know. Those are not my cases, but I know that they're alleged to have been underage.
I never hear, and I hear a lot of nowadays in the media, a lot of men are being accused at these parties and things like that, but I never hear the women are questioned at why were you at that party? What were you want? What did you want from the party owner?
No, that's a typical question they do get asked.
And I don't hear that though.
Okay, well, you're not going to these trials, so of course you don't hear it. How would you hear it if you're not following the case?
So they do ask that in the trial.
Yeah, that would be a normal question. Why did you go? What were you doing? What were you looking for? And usually it's they were looking to get a break in the industry.
So they wanted something.
Yeah, that's not a crime.
It's not a crime to want something, but you know you're not going to get, nothing is free, right? So these women have to know if they're going to go to somebody that's famous, especially in the entertainment world, and this person's famous, whether it's a male or a woman that's famous, and they want something, they're going to have to give up something.
Their bodies?
Uh-huh.
Is that what your granddaughter should do?
Nothing else to give.
What does your granddaughter like to do? Does she like to sing? Does she like to make art? Does she like to play the piano? Does she do anything like that?
No, she's married with children. She doesn't have time or anything like that.
All right. Well, I'm just saying.
But isn't that a good point, though?
No, it's a horrible point. Because you're justifying rape, Jesse.
How am I justifying rape?
You're saying that a woman goes wanting something, and then whatever happens to her, well, it's her fault. That's blaming the victim.
Whose fault is it then?
The perpetrator of rape is always...
They don't make the women show up at the party.
Are you serious?
And then the women dress like sluts.
All right.
Have you noticed that?
No.
So you ever seen those women going to a party, especially those kind of party?
All right.
Like
I don't know what century you're out of, but it's very sad that you think this way.
But I'm thinking realistically. There are two sides to every story, but we never really hear what the woman is doing and why is she dressed that way.
Okay, again, you don't hear it because you don't go to the trials.
But why is not in the
you
media?
You said earlier... Well, it probably
we
is.
We hear about the men in the media, but we never hear what the woman is doing.
That's not true.
In the good old days, when boys were boys and men were men, the mother and the father of the daughter would say, well, you had no been at that party, you little fast ass. What you doing at that party? You got what you deserve. That's what they would tell the kid, the adults.
Yeah. All right.
What do you think about that?
I think we're going to have about two more minutes, and I can't talk to somebody who's from the 19th century, so I think we're just about done. You're saying that women dress like sluts and ask for rape, and this is not an intelligent conversation.
I'm not saying they're asking for
rape. I almost
rape.
Feel like you're punking me, Jesse. Are you?
No.
I mean, nobody...
I'm not saying that they're asking for rape.
I got to wonder what you've done in your life that you have these thoughts.
I'm not saying that they ask for rape, but I'm asking... why don't we deal with both sides and just
that's what trials do.
I mean, in the media as well.
Well, I think the media does. If you read the articles, I don't know where you're getting your media.
I want to ask. I talk to a lot of men and women who are married and they're not mm-hmm. getting along, and especially educated men who are married to educated women. Mm-hmm. I've noticed.
Yeah.
Oh.
We're going to do about 2 more minutes, so maybe this is your last question.
Okay, so I noticed that marriages don't work nowadays for the most part. And in most of these cases, men are married to women who are educated, right? And I'm wondering from you, should men, I noticed that women who are educated don't make for good mothers, wives and mothers. Should a man marry an educated woman?
Well, I don't agree with your premise. I'm highly educated. All 4 of my children who are in their 20s and 30s are doing extremely well. We're very close. They have good mental health. They have good careers. They have happy lives. So I think it's great to have a mother who's very educated. The more education you have, the more you can make good choices in this world. If men can't handle an educated woman, I think he should look in the mirror as to what his problem is.
Well, I didn't ask you about the children. I'm asking, should men marry educated women? Because I noticed that educated women...
You asked
women,
about mothers. You said that educated women don't make good mothers.
Right,
that's what I was responding to.
Do they make good wives?
I don't know. I don't have an opinion on that.
And why not?
Because I'm not looking... It doesn't make any sense. Look, I think we have an expression in the women's movement. A man of quality is not threatened by a woman of equality. If a man has a little teeny tiny tiny ego... and he can't handle a woman with a brain, then I guess he shouldn't get a woman with a brain. But I guess he should consider what is lacking in him that he needs to push her down so that he can feel like the big man.
Why do women always think that when you tell the truth about them, it's because you're afraid of them? Why can't
you just tell
the truth about women without having to be afraid of them?
I don't think you can make... Why do you want to make these big generalizations about women? You know, in this country, we've got, 300 million people. So let's say 150 million women. I don't think you can say women are all one way or another. There's a huge variety, just like there is for men. So, but I don't know where you're getting your attitudes, Jesse. I invite you to join me in the 21st century. It's nice here.
Were women created to lead or to follow?
I think we are all created to lead.
How about women? Were they created to lead? Or
women
to
are part of all of us, so we're created to lead. On that note, I thank you for the interview, Jesse.
It's not over
yet.
It
was nice to meet you. It is over.
I haven't even put you on the hot seat yet.
A man who says that women dress like sluts and deserve to be raped is not... This is not a good
use. I never said they deserve
it. You did say.
No, I didn't say they deserve.
So
I'm trying to understand.
I don't think this is...
They're going to these parties dressed like sluts.
Yeah, okay.
They're going to a dinner party and they want something, and they know Diddy's going to want something too.
Yeah, we've covered this topic. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Are you going to run? You going to run?
You have a right to...
What the?
You have a right to your opinion.
Don't run.
I thank you, Jesse. Have a nice day.
You running?
No, I'm just going to walk.
I didn't even put you on the hot seat yet.
Thank
Come
you.
Back. Lisa.
Hi, thank you. Have a good day, everybody.
You too, Lisa. Amazing. Lisa Bloom ran. She gone. If you see Lisa Bloom walking down the road, ask her why did she run. What the? Glory, talk to your daughter. What the? I literally thought that because she's Glory already daughter, she says she's been a lawyer all her life, we're going to have a really good... And I knew we weren't going to agree, but I at least thought we were going to have a really, real upfront talk. I didn't expect her to run. What the? Ain't no use in praying for her no more. She gone. All right, so listen. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe. Check out the merch. Amazing merch. And check out the merch. Amazing merch. And support us. Go to thefallenstate.tv/donate or locals.com. And if there are others you'd like to see on the show, contact my producer at thefallestate.tv. Thefallestate.tv. The interview was just began. It wasn't even about to be. I didn't even put it on the hot seat. What the? Thank you all. Bye.